like to see you Sunday morning. Oh, I hardly hear the words roll off my tongue. Looking in myself for signs of something that's long gone. Oh, I stumble through the verse that says you love me, as the voices echo, my thoughts drift away. And I close my eyes ashamed, I'm feeling nothing, I pray. My mind, breathe your breath of life, heal me, wake my soul from this sleep, give me back the joy of when I first believed, heal me. Oh, I lose myself to one more day's indifference. When my eyes are everywhere but fixed on you, I don't have the strength to overcome this distance, but you do, you do. Heal me, heal these eyes, heal this heart, heal my mind. Breath of life, heal me, wake my soul from this sleep, give me back the joy of when I first believed, heal me.
Guy. I told them this morning when I saw that they were singing, I said, hey, we're going to have Brooks and Dunn this morning. And both of them at the same time said, yeah, I'm done. So that was good. Holidays, don't you love them? There's a lot of place to sit in church on holidays. A lot of room. I'm telling you, I'm looking out there, there's just all kinds of seats. Now, if any latecomers come, tell them there's plenty of places to sit. Just all over the place. I know the school just began, what, a week or so ago, and probably the kids' greatest holiday that they love has just ended, summer. And so they got to go back to school, and they are back at school, and I can see on the teachers' faces that they've been back to school. And I can see on the parents' faces, they've been back to school. Love holidays. Love holidays, you know, and with the beginning of school, it brings the holidays we seem to call our favorite, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and they're coming, this weekend is a holiday. So the holidays, when school starts, it seems like holidays start, and so holidays are a good thing. In Jesus' day, there were holidays. Now, Christmas wasn't one of them. That hadn't been established yet. But they did have Thanksgiving. They did have those Thanksgiving days. They weren't exactly called Thanksgiving. They were called Jewish Feast of Obligations. And they were days of Thanksgiving. Those were days that they had times that they went and had times of Thanksgiving. Passover was a Thanksgiving day that they had, a Thanksgiving meal that they had together. And they came together as a group of people to realize that there was a day when Passover occurred that had the blood not been on the doorpost, then the firstborn of every family would have died. And that was what really and truly allowed them to escape to Egypt. Pentecost was another holiday. Pentecost was a day that was 50 days, Pente meaning 50, 50 days after the Passover, and that was an ingathering day of harvest, where they ingathered the fields and the grain. And then there was the Feast of Tabernacles, and that was a feast also of a Thanksgiving feast of when they brought in some certain fruits from the field. And then there was the Feast of the Day of Atonement, the day when the priest would take the perfect lamb and they would slaughter that lamb. And the blood of that lamb is what covered the sins of the people. And so that was a day of atonement. They always had the days, the feast days. And little did I know, and little did the Jews know, that they are Baptists. What do we do when we celebrate? We eat. I like their holidays. They sound like there's always a feast for this and a feast for that. And so I kind of like those days. Jesus always attended those feasts. Jesus always went to those places that when they were at the Feast of the Passover, He was there. At the Feast of the Tabernacles, He was there. And He went not because He was hungry. He went because He wanted to celebrate what the days were for. He went to celebrate with other believers. He went to celebrate because He wanted to be with people of like mind and of like faith. Jesus attended those feasts. Why do you go to church? Why are you here today? And if you have come here today, have you come with great expectations? Have you come looking for something great to happen, or did you just get up today and come to church? Why are you here today? Some people feel that we have to go because of some sense of obligation or some sense of duty. If I go to church on Sunday and sit in my pew that I sit in every week and I put in the time that I need to put in, then I have done my obligation. That I have done the sense of duty. That I have done what I was supposed to do. I'm supposed to be in church on Sunday, so I come. And I come and I spend my hour. And then I go home. Is that why you're here today? Have you come today because it's my duty? I've come today because that's what she expects me to do. I'm just going to make peace in the house because I'm going to go to church today. Why have you come today? Have you come today looking for great expectations? Now, don't get me wrong. Coming to church out of responsibility sometimes is not a bad thing. I think we should hold each other accountable about being in church. I think that's what we have been called to do as believers in Jesus Christ. We come together to celebrate what He has done for us. And when we see people who just sort of dropped by the wayside, when we see people who are not in attendance, and we sit back and go, wonder where they are. We should hold people accountable. We should make that phone call. We should make that visit. And may the Lord forgive us when we don't. Somebody asked me about a couple one time several years ago and said, you know, I haven't seen so-and-so in a long time. And I said, have you called them? He said, no. I said, did you know that they've been divorced for 4 months? When the Lord lays on your heart someone, it's not put there just so you can forget it. When the Lord lays on your heart someone that you're wondering, He is calling you to make something happen. He is calling you to go see. He's calling you to go call. We should hold each other accountable. But my friends, I pray that you come to church to worship. I pray that you come to church to celebrate what the Lord has done for you, what the Lord is doing for you, and what the Lord will do for you. We should come with great expectations because that's what the Lord expects us to do. Out of obligation, okay. If you are obligated because of what the Lord has done for you, praise God. Because He's done a great thing for you. He's done a great thing for me. And we should come. And this is the point that we should gather together as the family of God. That we come and we corporately worship the one and true God who has given us life eternal through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why we should come. Now, I know that there are some who say, you know, I can go out on the lake and oh, I can see the Lord's beauty and I can worship out there just as good as I could sitting in a church pew. Brother, that may be true until you fail to set the hook on the big one and worship's over. Am I right? Or on the golf course. I have a hard time worshiping on the golf course. I'm sorry. I can't do that. I can't worship out there because it's going over there. It's got more times. No, I guess I could worship. I baptize that ball a lot. I guess I could. But we should really come right here as in corporate worship. Now, I'm not a legalistic person. If you are on vacation, that's okay. I'm being a little facetious with that. But let me tell you something. If your norm is to not be in church, then you're not normal. God's people come together to worship. And here I'm preaching to you. You're here on a holiday weekend. It's all them other people that I ought to be talking to. No, but you know what I'm saying. We need to be here together, more times than not, worshiping the Lord, celebrating what He has done for us. Hebrews 10:25 tells us that we're not to get out of the habit of coming together to worship together. Forsake not together yourselves again together to worship as the heathen do. But verse 24, right before that, you know what it says? He says that we should come together so that we can encourage one another in good works. We should encourage one another in love and in good works, it says in verse 24 of Hebrews 10. So we need each other so that we can encourage one another. We need each other so that we can show the love that we have for one another, for the family of God. We should be here together. So why do you come to church? I was listening to that song that we were singing a while ago, Enough. And I wonder why in some of our lives that Jesus isn't enough. It's Jesus plus this. It's Jesus plus that. Or it's a little bit of Jesus on this day and a whole lot of the devil on the rest. Why isn't Jesus enough? Why do you come to church? David Hoke said, remember, the church is composed of people redeemed by the Son of God, brought together by the will of God, to live together as the family of God in order to do the work of God in the power of the Spirit of God, all for the glory of God. It's about Him. We should be here to worship the Lord corporately because it's about Him. And where better else can you come and worship the Lord than with other believers who believe the same thing? Right here, worshiping together. I've came across this, and I'm sure that you may have too. It says, how to stay safe in the world today. It says, avoid riding in automobiles because they're responsible for 20% of all fatal accidents. You want to stay safe in the world? Don't stay at home either, because 17% of all accidents occur at home. Avoid walking on streets or sidewalks because 14% of all accidents occur in those places as pedestrians. Avoid traveling by air, rail, or water because 16% of all accidents involve these forms of transportation. Of the remaining 33%, 32% of all deaths occur in hospitals. So for heaven's sake, don't go to the hospital. Avoid hospitals. But you will be pleased to learn that 1/1000% of all deaths occur in worship. And most of these are usually because somebody else, they were sick already. Therefore, logic tells us the safest place for you to be at any given time is in church. Is in church. And the Bible's, and Bible study is safe too. The percentage of deaths during Bible study is even less than those that attend worship. So for safety's sake, go to church. Go to church. I've said all of this to say this. That when Brother Jeremy read the text a while ago, Jesus was on his way to church. He was on his way to church when he encountered this paralytic man. And you know what's so neat about the Lord? It says that he knew that he was already crippled for these long years. He already knew that. He already knew this man was crippled. He already knew that he was paralyzed even before he saw him. But notice this, he saw him. And my friends, when Jesus sees you, it's not in a glance and it's not just in an overlook or an oversight, but he came back to see you. When Jesus sees you, he sees you. And he sees where you are. He sees where you are in life. He sees where you are in all areas of your life. He saw this man. Oh, and let me say this. If you are in a world of hurt today, whether it be because of loss or because of pain, because of physical, mental, my friend, listen. Jesus sees you. And he knows where you are. Let's see what happened with this encounter with this man. He had been paralyzed for 37, 38 years. And Jesus, when he noticed him, now he was by this pool, okay? Now I don't understand all this, okay? But it just Scripture says that the angel stirred the water, and if whoever could get into the water first, they were healed. And this guy had been paralyzed for 38 some odd years, and been coming down there all these days, these months, these years, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. And he says he couldn't get into the water. Somebody always beat him. The first one to the water, they were healed. And he said, I never could get to the water, so he wasn't healed. But let me stress this point. He was there. He was there. In all those times that he's been there before, nothing happened. But today, he was there. And I know sometimes we think that I go down to that church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and nothing happens. Nothing happens. And the one day that you don't go down there at that church, you just might miss it. This man came one more time. One more time he came. You know what made the difference? What was different this day than all those other times before? What was different? That's right. Jesus was there. Jesus makes a difference. Jesus makes a difference in your life, though sometimes you feel like He's not even close, even in this worship time, even in this building. Sometimes you feel like Jesus is not even close. My friends, we need to come with great expectations to church because Jesus shows up. He's here. He's here. The problem with us not feeling that anything ever happened is not because Jesus doesn't show up. He doesn't show up in us. We don't bring Him. We don't prepare ourselves for worship. We don't come with great expectations. More times than not, we show up to church expecting nothing. And more times than not, that's exactly what we get. Nothing. We need to come with great expectations. We need to expect something big to happen every time we show up. Not because it ought to happen to us. Not because we're something special. We should come with great expectations because Jesus makes it happen. He shows up. And when He shows up, that's the difference. He is the difference. He makes the difference. How many blessings do we miss because we just don't show up? Sometimes we just get tired and we quit. Somebody hurt my feelings. I quit. I didn't like that sermon. I quit. She didn't look at me right. I quit. My friends, when you quit, when you withdraw, you also withdraw from the blessings. Don't withdraw. Come with great expectations. Let's see what happened. In this message that I want to share with you today, there are some conditions under which the power of Jesus operates. And I want to draw those lessons out of this. First of all, in verse 6, we see that Jesus asked the question of the man. As he's walking up, he sees him. He notices it. He knows, in fact, everything about him, that he has been paralyzed for years. He knew that. And then he asked the question, do you want to be healed? I don't know about you, but on the surface, that would seem like a pretty silly question. No, can't you hear that, man? Do I want to be healed? I've been paralyzed for 38 years. What do you think? Do I want to be healed? Oh, my goodness. On the surface, we would think that would be a pretty... We question the question. But you know, if the man is healed, his life changes. For 38 years, someone has taken care of him. Now, I don't know who brought him down to the temple. I don't know who brought him down to that pool. I don't know. Somebody brought him down there, laid him on that bed, and laid him there. For 38 years, someone took care of that man. And for him to be healed, guess who's going to have to take care of him now? Himself. So Jesus asked, do you want to be healed? Really? Do you really want to give up the comfort of that bed that you're in every day? Do you really want to give up the comfort of having to search for your own food? Do you really want to give up the comfort of having people fuss over you? Do you really want to give up being able to say, poor me. I'm so helpless. So when Jesus asked, do you want to be healed? That was a pretty big question. Do you want to be healed? He asked a question. Look what happened. The man said, sir, there is no one here that will help me get into the water. And I've come every day. I've come every week. I've been here every month. I've been here so many years. And sir, everybody else is so concerned about their own sickness and frailties that they just run by me. I can't walk. I can't get there. He said, sir, I would love to be healed. I just can't get to the water. You know, I don't know about you, but when I'm reading things, I see them, and I see this man all but begging, pleading. Yes. Yes. And I think the first point, the first step in receiving the power of Jesus is to have an intense desire for His power. We need to have an intense desire for what He has to offer. And I sense this man just pleading and pleading and saying, if I could just get to the water, if I could just get there. I have this burning desire, but no one will help us. And sometimes, as we said, we come to church expecting nothing to happen. That's just about what we get because we don't have that burning and intense desire for the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just something that we go through. We just come, we spend an hour, and then, hopefully just an hour, and then we take off. We take off to where it is that we go at 12. We're not looking for anything great. Heaven, for the Holy Spirit to move, are you kidding me? We may be here a while if the Holy Spirit moves. I'm not real sure about that. Billy, I think you told me this story. So if you didn't, then take credit. It's all right. I think Miss Billy told me this story. She said that a man went to visit another church in another town. So he went to church, and as he was attending the church, and while he was there, that the preacher was preaching this powerful message. And this man just started amening. Amen. He even threw out a praise the Lord in there. And a little lady sitting in front of him turned around and said, shh, you need to be quiet. And he said, man, I just got full of the Spirit. And she said, well, you didn't get that here. You know, and you said he told me that, didn't you? Oh, so sit down and shut up. That was the rest of it. So sit down and shut up. You know, I wonder if somebody really got excited in the Spirit, how we would react. My God, I believe it would scare us to death, us bunch of little Baptists. I was attending a meeting of pastors the other day. And, you know, and they had invited, I'm coming to join y'all, is that all right? And they were meeting around this table, and this guy had come to talk to us about missions and where they were missioning out in Vietnam. And he was speaking just very calm. He was very... And we had some black ministers there from Beaumont sitting in there. And while we were just talking, you know, and I was just listening. And all of a sudden, this black minister just, hallelujah! He just sprang to his feet and just, like, and I want you to know, there's a bunch of little white pastors in that building, was ready to get out the door. It scared them to death. I mean, one of the pastors said, he jerked back, and the guy that was speaking just got real quiet. And he looked at that little pastor and he said, brother, you scared me. He just got full of the Holy Spirit and just wanted to let the Lord know. He praised Him. And he says, hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lord. And it scared us to death. Brother, I'm telling you, it scared me. And I wonder if the Lord just broke. And we pray, oh, Lord, send a revival. Oh, Lord, let the Spirit break loose. Oh, Lord, do we really want to be healed? Do we really want to step out of that comfort zone? And I praise the Lord that I attend a church and I belong to a church and I am a staff member of a church that allows people to worship the way the Lord leads them to worship. If the Lord leads you to raise your hands, praise God. If the Lord says, I just don't worship that way and I just won't do that, well, praise God. Praise the Lord that we're free to worship the way the Lord leads us to. Because I for one, would never want someone to do this when it wasn't called of the Holy Spirit. That's just a show. That's all that is. But when the Lord calls you to lift your hands in holy reverence to Him, it's like saying, Daddy, Daddy. If the Lord leads you to do that, then praise be to Him. Freedom to worship the way the Lord has called you to worship. My prayer for you today is that the Holy Spirit just jumps all over you. That's my prayer today. The Lord spoke to him and he says, do you want to be healed? The second thing the Lord said to him, he says, rise, take up your bed. Rise, pick up your bed and walk, we see in verse 8. You see, within himself, this man could not walk. No telling how many days he had been there, no telling how many times he had tried, and it just didn't happen. It just didn't happen. But the difference was, he didn't have to get to the water because Jesus was there. And all he said was, get up. And walk. The second step in receiving the power of Jesus is that the power of God is not contingent on the power of man. It is not within your power and it's not in your might, but it's by who? The Spirit of God. That's where the power relies on. It's not in us. And until we realize our own helplessness and put our trust in God, we will never receive His power. We will never receive His power to rise above ourselves and our trials of life. We will never be able to receive His power to rise above and walk over the barriers of life. We will never be able to receive His power to rise and walk over the lost love in our life. We will never be able to rise and to walk through sickness. We will never be able to rise up and walk through shortcomings of others. We will never be able to rise and walk through the shortcomings of our own selves. We will never be able to rise and walk when the world just keeps knocking us down. Until we come to the end of ourselves and rely on the power of Jesus Christ, we will never be able to rise and walk. It's by His power. We can realize His power. Oh, but listen, we can realize His power, but not until our will surrenders to the will of the Father. We have to surrender our will to Him. If Jesus can do that on the blackest night of His life, when He says, oh, Lord, I don't want this. But it's not my will. It's your will. And if He can do that, my friend, we can too. Not my will, but yours. Your will be done. You see, sometimes the miracle doesn't come, does it, Debbie? Sometimes the miracle doesn't come, does it, Melissa? The miracle in the way that we want to see it. You see, we want what's good. But the Lord sees what's best. And I don't understand all that. I don't understand. I can just talk about the sovereignty of God because He knows the best that there is. And that's what He wants for us. He really does. So when the miracles don't come in the way that we think they should come, that is when we really, truly have to rely and trust in Him. In Him alone. My goodness, who else would you trust in? Who else would you put your trust in other than Him? To see the power of Jesus in action, first of all, we have to want to see it. And secondly, we have to hear what He says. The lame man wanted to be healed, and he heard what Jesus said when He said, pick up your bed and walk. He heard. Look what He did. He got up. He got up. And when the Lord calls you to rise and be healed of whatever that you're in, my friend, get up. Get up. Jesus was commanding the man to do what he thought was impossible. To get up and to walk. And he could have said, what? Get up? You want me to do something that I've never been able to do in 38 years? Get up? And not only do you want me to walk, you want me to pick up the bed that I've been laying on and carry it while I walk. Man, I've been here for 38 years. What makes you think I can do it today? He could have complained. He could have questioned. He could have said, I can't do that. But Scripture says immediately he picked up his bed and he walked. My friends, our burdens can become our bed. And we can wallow in those burdens for years. We can be embedded in the sorrows of life to the point to where it paralyzes us from doing what the Lord wants us to do. Are becoming what the Lord wants us to become. We forget how light life is without carrying burdens. Have you had a friend? Well, let me hurry up here. I'm sure you all had friends. Have you had a friend that you started watching and all of a sudden their color began to turn kind of ashen gray and real short of breath? And then you say, you know, you probably need to go to the doctor. And they go to the doctor and they find out that there is some blockage in their heart. And the blood wasn't getting there, and the heart was just having to work so hard to get the blood through those blocked arteries so it could get up to the lungs so it could have some breath and air and breathe and the color go back to their face because it wasn't getting the blood there. And then they go to the doctor and they had the stent or the bypass surgery. Man, the next time you see them, they said, man, I didn't know how bad I felt. Man, this is good. Man, I can breathe and I can get the blood to my brain and my color's good. And oh man, I feel much better. I didn't know I felt that bad. You see what had happened. The heart was having to labor so hard to get the blood through the blocked artery that the heart was being damaged. And that's the way it is when we carry our burdens that we don't have to. We have to work so hard that it just wears us out. It just beats us down. And I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip. I know some of you have already right now said, you know, if I'm a Christian, why can't I lay it down? And I know that's crossed your mind. It has mine. If I'm truly a believer in Jesus Christ, why can't I take this burden that I'm carrying and lay it down? Why can't I do that? Because, my friend, you can be in Jesus and still carry the burden. There's a story told of a man that had his big bag that he was carrying on a pole over his shoulder. And the man, and you could just see him as he's walking down the road. Just, he can hardly walk. And the guy comes up in a wagon and he says, hey, come on, I'll give you a ride. And he gets in the wagon, and the guy tells the horse to take off, and they're gone. And so he's going down, and he's trying to talk to the man. He looks back, and the guy's sitting down. He's in the wagon. He's sitting down. But on his shoulder, he still has his whole belongings in his bag, and he's holding it. But he's sitting down. He's in the wagon, but he's still holding the burden. And the man in the wagon turned back. He said, why don't you just lay that burden down? Why don't you put your bag down, man? I'm in the wagon. He says, well, you offered me a ride. You didn't say anything about my belongings. My friends, when Jesus offers you a ride, He wants to take all of you. He wants to take you. He wants to take your burdens. He wants to take them off your shoulders and just put them in the wagon. Just put them in the wagon. You don't have to carry the load anymore. You have Jesus. And we get so full of stress. And we wonder why stress causes you to be tired. My friend, stress is work. And work makes you tired. Give them to Jesus. And when we can finally do that and leave them where they belong, at the foot of Jesus, and walk away, we'll do what Max Lucado says, man, we'll be traveling light. We need to travel light. We need to lay the burdens down at Jesus' feet and leave them there and walk away. We need to be in Jesus totally, burdens and all. The man did what the Lord commanded. The Lord told him to get up, and he made the effort to do so. He got up and he walked. And verse 9 says he did so immediately. And the third step in receiving the power of God is to make every effort to do whatever the Lord commands. Make every effort to do what the Lord commands. He commanded the man to get up, and he did. But I want you to realize this. When the man got up, his effort was not in him. His effort was in Jesus Christ. It was at the command of Jesus when he said, you get up, you rise, and you walk. It was at his command, not his own power. It was under the power of Jesus Christ. Remember that. Remember that. It was in Jesus that he did that. I have a question for you today. What burden are you carrying today? What has you so weighted down that you can't do what the Lord has commanded? Could be a physical problem that you have, and as we may not be healed physically on this side of heaven. Whatever your infirmity may be, we may not be healed this side of heaven. But let me tell you what you can be healed from. You can be healed from the stress, the strain. You can be healed from all that that goes with the problem that you're in right now. You can be healed of that. Is your burden today mental stress? Does mental stress have you paralyzed to your bed? Is your burden lost love? Is your burden the loss of a loved one? What is your burden today? My friend, did you come here today with great expectations? Listen, if you didn't, you can leave with a great deliverance. By the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, rise and be healed. Let me pray. Fathers, we come to you this morning. Lord, we all here need a healing. We all need something, Lord, in our lives. And Father, I pray, Lord, that in this time of invitation, Lord, that's yours. We're going to give this to you, Lord. And I don't know where the hearts of these people are. I don't know what they're going through. Only you do. Lord, only you do. Father, I pray, Lord, that today, though they came just as another day, Lord, that it becomes something great. Lord, not because of who they are or who I am, Lord, but because of who you are. Lord, the great deliverer, the one who wants to deliver, Lord, us from the great burdens of life. Lord, and I pray, Lord, I pray for that deliverance for each person that's in this room today. Lord, we need a healing. And Lord, we're coming to the great physician for that today. Lord, we're coming to you. Lord, there's people that need to be delivered from the bondage of sin, whatever it may be. Father, I pray, Lord, that you break the bondage. Lord, help them see, Lord, that they can do this, Lord, by your power, by your might. Father, I pray, Lord, that those that need the deliverance, Lord, of a rededication of their life to you, Father, I pray that today be the day. Whatever it is, Lord, whatever it is, I pray that today is a day of deliverance. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.